Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune, Pastor Dusty White, and Chris Himmelman of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking more about a leader's presence.
2 weeks ago, we did a podcast on presence, and man, got a lot of really good feedback. It felt like to a lot of you listeners, it tapped a nerve, and we've had good conversations about it since, and felt like, gosh, there's a lot more we could say there, and a lot more that might be helpful to frame out to continue to help us think about that. So if you remember, the question we asked 2 weeks ago was, we just urged people to ask the question, how do you experience me, or how do others experience me? And that question was sort of good fodder for us to talk about what our presence is like and what it means to be present. Dusty, you asked your gospel community and some other group of people to answer that question for you. So how'd that go the past couple weeks?
Yeah, I took that question and ran with it, took it into one room that was full of leaders. Like half the room was some of the deacons in our church and kind of some just great, fantastic leaders. And all who have experienced me in different ways. And it was interesting to just sit there and listen. So at the very end, I responded basically generally to everybody. But here's what I found. And then, yeah, the second group was the gospel community that I get to lead and just the people that I'm doing life with every week. So kind of two different calibers of people, some leaders and some just people in my GC. And here's what I realized. Even in the moment of asking the question, I realized I'm actually always wondering this. Not really in like, maybe not necessarily in a fear of man kind of way, but in a way of like, you're actually always kind of wondering how people are experiencing you. So to actually verbalize that and to just sit and listen to the feedback is really fascinating and creates all kinds of self-awareness. Like some people would say, hey, I experience you as my pastor. Others said, I experience you like a brother and here's why, or I experience your calming presence in these situations, or you know, a gal in my gospel community said, I experience your clear convictions, like you're very firm in your convictions. And I thought, oh, I don't even think about that stuff, you know? So it's just, yeah, took that question and ran with it and have kind of been just letting those answers shape my self-awareness over the last couple of weeks.
One of the authors that we mentioned that was helpful in thinking about presence was Edwin Friedman. And this idea of presence, of how do people experience me? What is my presence like when I walk into a room? What are the sort of, what's the experience people have of me? We said that it's really crucial to self-awareness. And I wanted to bring in maybe a couple more insights from Friedman to help us take this conversation forward and give us a couple additional categories to think about as we try to help people just cultivate a wise self-awareness, a sense of what is my presence and how might it be non-Christ-like, and how might I need to trust God to reform my presence so that it's more like Jesus. Here's a fascinating thought that one of the beautiful things about quoting Friedman is he's dead, A, so you can't really argue with him because he doesn't care if you disagree.
And it's B, beautiful that he's dead?
Well, I just mean when guys are dead, you're not like, people argue with him less because they're like, well, that guy's life work is done.
He must be,
so
right?
I'm not going to change his mind, you know? Sorry, it's not good that he's dead. It's meaning, whenever you're talking about an author who's dead, there's a sense of like, well, they laid this work down and they're not revising it. Like they're not changing their mind tomorrow. They're not backing off from what they said. So there's some sense in which Friedman being deceased has said what he said, and therefore it sort of can echo in our lives in provocative ways. The other thing is he was just an interesting figure. He's a Jewish rabbi and a family therapist. And so he has this worldview that's religiously informed. It's also informed by the world of family systems and family therapy. And he works a lot with leaders. He's convinced, he says that the most important characteristic of leadership, and you can see immediately how this connects to presence, is a well-differentiated sense of self. A good leader is a person who has a well-differentiated self, is what he calls it. And we could just say, who understands, who has a sense of presence. Like when they walk into a room, there's a comforting and calming presence that they bring, and also a presence of like, this person knows who they are, they know what they're doing, they're a leader, I feel comfortable following them or submitting to them or letting them lead me in some way or in this conversation or whatever. So this idea of a well-differentiated sense of self, here's what Friedman says. there's this spectrum in society where, on the one hand, there's forces that pull us toward togetherness and that actually work against a well-defined sense of self. And then there's the other side, which is sort of narcissism. Mm. And so he says it's really challenging because everything in society right now works against a leader defining themselves, because we feel like if there's any leader around us that has a well-differentiated sense of self, they feel narcissistic to us. But the reason they feel that way is because everybody around us is not self-differentiated. We're all sort of getting our identity from one another and too concerned about how does this person respond to me and am I getting my identity from them and do they like me and do they think I'm a good leader? And so, like, because we tend to get so much of our identity from other people, we haven't differentiated ourselves with a proper sense of self-identity. And therefore, we always find ourselves pulled around by what people think, how people respond to us. And so, you know, if you just lay the category of fear of man over what Friedman's saying, it's very provocative to look at it through a gospel lens and go, really, what he's saying is, man, we all struggle with fear of man in various ways. Mm-hmm. But he's saying when you have a leader who's well differentiated, in other words, they have a confident sense of presence. They know who they are. They know who they're not. They're not trying to be somebody they're not. They're also not trying to make you happy with everything they say. There's a sense of comfort in who they are and who they're not and how God has shaped them and how God is shaping them. That person tends to create confidence in us. We feel like, well, I'd follow that person because they're not narcissistic. They don't think they're the bomb. They're also not passive and uncertain about who they are. They just kind of get who they are. And there's something about those kinds of people that make us confident and comfortable, and we feel good following them. So I wanted to lay that over this conversation about presence, because I think part of what, you know, we asked the question last time, how do I know if I'm really showing up and present? What are some of the things that keep us from doing that? I think what Friedman's insight shows us is that part of what keeps us from developing a sense of presence is just our concern that people will see us as selfish, jerky, disengaged, right? Like, we're so concerned about how people perceive us that we never really ask the question, man, who am I? Who's God made me to be? What does it mean for me to be myself and not some other version of me that someone else wants me to be? This brings a thought from Dallas Willard to mind when he says that God's goal is not to make you more like Christ. It's to make you more like the you that you will be in the new heavens and the new earth. Hmm. And that's always been a provocative statement to me, because I just think it's not as easy of a shorthand of we'll just be Christ-like. It actually takes into account the fact that I'm made in the image of God in a unique way, and that God wants me to bear his image in a unique way. And that involves me understanding who am I before God and what is God redeeming me to be? Guys, as we think about that, as you think about the average listener to this podcast, the average person in our church, the average leader who's trying to grow as a leader, how does thinking about this idea of a well-differentiated self, really understanding my sense of self, how does that help us get down the road in this idea of being present, of being fully in the room, fully present, fully available to people relationally?
The first thing that comes to my mind is, and you alluded to it when you said fear of man, is just we'll have a church full of leaders who aren't fearful, who aren't afraid to fail, who aren't afraid to, like you said, hurt people's feelings, but to just lead and lead in who they are and lead who God has made them to be, where they're at in that moment. And fear seems to be non-existent in that type of reality when we're not concerned about making a mistake or saying the wrong thing.
Well, and not that we want to be hurtful to people.
Right.
But one of Friedman's observations is, and we talked about this, the podcast where we talked about the Atlantic article about microaggression.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the fact that everybody confuses hurt with offense, mm-hmm. right? Like, I might say something that hurts your feelings. That doesn't mean I've offended you. It might be true, and you might just mm-hmm. be sensitive. And so Friedman talks about, like, a well-differentiated sense of self means I'm not pulled around by how people want to use their feelings to manipulate me as a leader into doing things that only feel comfortable to them, right? Because all of us would rather default toward comfort. And so when somebody's challenging us, when somebody is trying to get us to do something that's hard, right? Think of a coach who pushed you to the next level as an athlete, or a teacher who really challenged you, or a father, mother, family member who really challenged you in uncomfortable ways, you know, to grow as a person. We never like that when it's happening, but we always look back at it and go, gosh, I'm really glad that happened.
Yeah.
And that's leadership, right? A leader is someone who's willing to challenge us for our own good, even if it doesn't feel good in the moment. Here's a fascinating, I mean, Friedman's so bright with this stuff, but listen, he says, think about how we use the word self. Okay, let me give you some words. Self-assured, self-possessed, self-control, self-determined. We generally see those as positive traits. Okay, self-centered, self-seeking, self-serving. We generally see those as negative traits, right? Mm-hmm. So you put the word self in front of any word, sometimes we view it positively, sometimes we view it negatively. And his point is that like it's very complex to think about how a well-defined sense of self can be really helpful to us and sometimes how it can go badly. And because we know that it can go badly, and because especially in Christian circles, right, we're so into selflessness, right, and being a servant, that I think we view any sense of self with suspicion. It's sort of like, well, man, if you're trying to be like, have a strong presence of self, we immediately are sort of skeptical of like, well, that sounds a lot like, you know, selfishness. Mm-hmm. But Friedman's really trying to push on us. And I think he has a good challenge here to the Christian community to say like, hey, a well-defined sense of self is a creation category, not a fall category, right? Like it's not just the fall that challenges us to think about self. It's also, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? What does it mean to be made uniquely and distinctly? If we believe, as Psalm 139 said, that God uniquely shaped all of us in our mother's wombs, that means that there is a sense of self that's right and good for me to cultivate. And that strengthens then my sense of presence, my ability to show up with me. A lot of what keeps me from being able to show up is I just don't know who I am in the first place. So I can't bring me to the table because I'm not sure who I am.
The other thing that comes to mind in light of a well-differentiated self would be, now when I walk into the room, I know who I am. And so instead of asking the question all the time of what role do I need to play right now, or how are these people perceiving me, and so therefore I'm going to relate that way, instead I walk in and I am. You know, and there's a sense of, to use a self word, there's a sense of self-confidence, which also is embracing a self insecurity all at the same time to create a real holistic human being.
Yep.
Doesn't this also free us to admit where we perhaps are sinful, or we do make mistakes in our leadership, in the sense that if someone does bring a helpful correction about our presence, mm-hmm. we can freely acknowledge that and recognize that, and not crush us into being super passive, or so overcompensate with being like super passive, or overcompensate with being like super aggressive. But we can own it, and we can grow in a way that's healthy and actually life-giving. I think that's a piece of this too that's helpful as I'm sitting here thinking about this is, man, the ability to take criticism comes from a deep sense of, I know who I am, and I know who I am in Christ. If that's all jacked up and sideways, then man, the littlest criticism is just going to crush me.
There's I think it's Kierkegaard who said, now by the grace of God, I shall become myself. And I think this is what he was talking about. It's like, by God's grace, I'm actually going to become I'm going to figure out who I am, and I'm going to live into that. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right, Chris.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Bob, you and I were just talking about 2 hours ago about decision making, and one of the decisions that I'm trying to make right now is really one of those questions, like, should I actually do this? This would alter a couple months of my life. And so, you know, just trying to really, really in that, it's not a question of, should I go do that? It's more a question of like, is this who I am? And is this going to be a good contribution to the church and to society if I go do these things? So even in our decision-making process and the things that we actually execute as leaders, do they come out of who we actually are?
It's interesting if you think about the emphasis we put on community in our church and in churches like ours, which is huge and important. But man, the only thing that makes true community possible is a real sense of the individual. If we have a community without a sense of self, without each person having a sense of who they are, we don't really have community, we have idolatry. And that's what, like, where you see churches and small groups and gospel communities and teams get really sideways is when they have really good community, but that community is sort of codependent, you know, sort of like we get our identity from each other. And so part of the reason we have such tight community is because we don't know who we are apart from each other. Where I think you see really healthy community is when people are striving for, man, I want to be relationally connected to others. And the only way I can really be relationally connected to others is if I know who I am, and I can offer my presence in full ways to others and receive feedback and criticism from others and show up myself to serve the community and to be part of the community. And so it's interesting to me that we hear a lot in evangelicalism about community. We hear very little about individualization or differentiation. And yet, unless we've differentiated ourselves, unless we understand who we are, we can't really be a healthy part of community. Here's an interesting analogy from Edwin Friedman. He says, the immune system in your body works because it differentiates self from non-self.
Whoa.
Like its job is to figure out what's part of me and what's not part of me. Mm-hmm. And that's profound when you think about how many different kinds of cells are in your body, and yet your immune system knows which of those are you and which of those are not you. And so there's a fascinating insight there to the importance of differentiation for healthiness.
So another thought that's come to mind here too is this idea of being you and leading as you, that so often we think we have to be X kind of leader to be a leader with real presence. And so we have to be that charismatic, strong, walk into the room and all the eyes turn on us. And so what does it look like to grow as you and being a strong leader with good presence? Like, so I think of this is an area where I think the past 3.5 years of being in ministry and growing in pastoral ministry, one of the primary lessons I've had to learn is what does it mean for me to pastor as God has made me, and learning from other guys, but not necessarily trying to be them because I'm not them. So how do we cultivate that kind of culture where we want guys to grow in certain ways, but we want to grow them as them?
What a great question.
I have an example. Pastor Justin, before at the end of November, we're having a conversation before the Advent season, and I was on the schedule to lead liturgy for our church over Advent, and he said, how you feeling? And I was like, you know, I feel okay. And he said, I hope that I get Mike Kresnick on Sunday mornings. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I felt like last year you were trying to be somebody that wasn't Mike Kresnick. And I just want to see like your jeans and your Chuck Taylor shoes and your tattoos and just get Mike Kresnick. So I think just having somebody say to me, hey, I'm okay with who you are. And so is everybody else. And so is God the Father. So just lead out of that. That was really empowering to me. To just lead out of my own skin rather than leading out of some skin that I hope I have.
I would also say this, Chris. I think it's possible sometimes to overthink that. Like, here's what I see young preachers do, is they so want to figure out who they are that they are aimless. And I think there's something about growing up as a leader where you actually have to kind of try on somebody else's voice for a while to find your own. Or you have to try on somebody else's presence for a while to find your own. You know, like, so there's a sense of, I don't want to see this in black, white, stark categories. I want to see sort of a dimmer switch and saying, man, let's turn up the sense of who I am. And the only way that comes to me oftentimes is, like you said, by being in 3 years of like, well, who am I? Am I that guy or am I that? Am I more like this guy or that guy? Am I more like this kind of leader or that kind of leader? I think people can sometimes get paralyzed by feeling like, I don't know the answer, and I don't know who I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I just think, especially for younger leaders, I want to give them freedom to say, man, I don't know, you kind of got to try to be some, you know, try to follow in somebody's wake a little bit and then figure out, I'm not entirely that though, you know? And that's how you begin to understand your sense of presence. And I do think family structures can help that or hurt that. And we're going to talk about that next week, but there's a sense in which, you know, if you have a relatively healthy family, they kind of help you figure out who you are. And if you have a relatively unhealthy family, they sort of jack up who you are a little bit. And so there's, depending on sort of where you're coming out of and the trajectory that you're on in life, this is where I think a gospel-centered community can be really helpful to help one another let's figure out who you are and let's help you lead as you, you know, and in encouraging ways, like you just said, Mike, like, let's speak to one another in ways that call out, man, who are you? Let's get more of you, and let's turn down the volume on the you that's trying to be someone else, you know. That's not always bad. I think it's part of growing, but it's just, we need that constant encouragement to sort of bring ourselves to the table.
How have mentors and spiritual apprenticeships been part of that? Like finding who you are and in your leadership, is that
would that be another valuable thing to have, is just have somebody constantly in your life just saying good, bad, continue this way, don't continue in that way?
Yeah, that I would say very, very important piece of my development. And to your point, Bob, of just that exact thing of trying on different pieces and different ways of doing that. And I can even look at where I am now, and I feel like, even though I'm still growing, I feel pretty comfortable of like, okay, I think I'm understanding who I am as a leader. But if you were to look at the way that I lead, you could see the influences of different people in the way I do things, but not in an inauthentic way, not in like a copycat, I'm just trying to, you know, pretend to be them, but in a Chris Hemmelman way of doing that. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm not, when it does seem like I'm trying to be, like you said, with the way Justin is, I think one of the ways this manifests itself for me is in like gospel community, leading a small group discussion. Cause that's probably the one place where I'm still trying to figure out how to do that well. And Mindy's very good at being like, that really wasn't you. That was, mm-hmm. you were trying to be someone else. And so having, whether it be your spouse or close friends or someone who's discipling you in leadership, mm-hmm. being able to identify. And so kind of to Bob's point, if you have good people in your life speaking into that, you can be less worried about trying to figure it out all every step of the way, and just know, man, when you're not being you, people will tell you. Mm-hmm. And so just go and learn and work at it and try things on and have people call you out when necessary and grow from that.
While we're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, not everybody that listens are church leaders. What about, you know, the stay-at-home mom? Like there was that whole, I think it was Newsweek. They had an article called Mom Enough, and are you mom enough was the question. And it was just this culture of moms looking to other moms, trying to be the best mom in the world. And, so I don't know. I think there's things out there that tell people who aren't necessarily in church leadership, hey, you need to be somebody that you're not.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes to all areas of life.
Yeah, I don't think this applies just to church leadership. Yeah. I think what I want you to hear if you're listening to this podcast is, hey, you need to become yourself and figure out who are you, not in a, like, this is who I am and nobody gets to question that way. That's mm-hmm. selfishness, yeah. right? But in a warm, personal, man, I think this is who God's, I'm figuring out more and more who God's made me to be and who I'm not. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay with that. I'm going to live into that. How I feel what you just said is, you know, we homeschool our kids and have for a long time. And man, that's strong in the homeschool community of like, here's the kind of mom or dad you're supposed to be if you're going to homeschool your kids. And man, my wife's just not she's not a super administratively gifted person. Mm-hmm. And so like, she would get overwhelmed by like, man, I'm supposed to be like planning all this curriculum and taking my kids on field trips to the zoo and nature walks. And like, you know, there's all these like,
and then you got to blog about
blogs,
it,
right? Yeah, yeah. It's just like, you can get really overwhelmed. And I just had to say like, hey, that's okay. That's not, mm-hmm. Here's who you are. Here's who you're not. It's okay mm-hmm. to be you. Like, I think we should be able to do this for who we are, not for who the blog says we should be. And I think we live in such a spectator culture where we're always getting broadcast to of what everybody else is. And I just think it's okay to go like, man, that's really awesome. I like who that person is. I'm not that person,
yeah.
you know, and not in a way that's like, you know, I should never learn from that, but just in a way that's realistic about maybe that's not who I am.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to be explicit about in what you guys are saying as I'm just listening here for the last few minutes is that in everything that you're saying, there's a vein of teachability and humility. And so we're assuming that. And so one of the things that I just want to say is the only way you can ask somebody for their input on who you are and who you aren't is if you're actually going to listen. And I remember in my early 20s, I took a job. And Mike, you asked about spiritual mentors and figures like that. And I remember after cultivating that relationship for a couple of years, he said, really what God's going to do is he's going to take you over to that job really just to kick your butt. And he said like a million things in that one sentence, you know, what he didn't say was like, hey, you're a little prideful, arrogant, little leader. You know, he didn't say that, but, and basically that's what happened, mm-hmm. you know? And so, had I been a little bit more teachable, I might've learned it a little bit easier. But mm-hmm. so one of the things you have to have here is humility in order to understand yourself. I met with a guy recently who, is entering into kind of his second career. He's going to school in his 30s, which is different than going to school in your 20s. And he's being real honest about like, well, here's what I know about myself now based on the career I've been in. And here's what I know I'm not good at. And so I'm probably going to go to school in this direction because it seems like this is just kind of my niche. And so I'm like, yeah, I think that's, you know, there's a little bit of awareness about who he actually is now. So, and here's the thing, if you don't understand yourself here, here's one of my fears is that you just try a bunch of stuff. And then by the time you're 60, you don't really know what you did. And so I think your best contribution is to start to figure that out in your 20s and 30s with some humility and even with some fails and some tries, and then start to figure it out so that you can actually contribute.
So what you're saying is you better know yourself before you wreck yourself.
Ooh. Wreck yourself.
Yes.
So maybe here's the, we framed up last or 2 weeks ago with a helpful question of, you know, how do others experience me? Maybe this simple one phrase question for this week is, do you know who you are, who God's made you to be? And if not, what are you doing to try to learn and understand who you are and who you're not? That's the really question of individuation and differentiation. And I think that's crucial to a well-defined sense of presence. It's crucial to understanding what it means to offer myself. I can't offer myself unless I know who I am and who I'm not. And the more I know who I am and who I'm not, the more helpfully, the more genuinely, and the more lovingly I can bring my whole self to a relationship, a situation, a circumstance, and offer myself helpfully in ways that are meaningful.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation by tweeting us at Corumdeo Omaha. And we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation. Merry Christmas!